Welcome to Tales from the Heart, a podcast from the Hypertrophic Cardiomyopathy Association. My maiden name is still on the screen for those watching the video version of this. I brought back my maiden name for March, Lisa Flanagan Salberg. It's that St. Patrick's Day Irish Pride thing that comes up every year. We can get rid of that for next month. So I am joined today by Barrett Haynes. Barrett, where are you from?
I'm at home in my room, Pell City, Alabama.
And how old are you?
I'm 21.
When was the first time you heard hypertrophic cardiomyopathy?
First time I heard hypertrophic cardiomyopathy was when I was 8 years old. I went to an 8-year-old pediatrician checkup. He heard a murmur that he'd never heard in my heart before, and he sent me to a cardiologist, and that's when I was diagnosed.
That was a couple of years ago. You're going to be 22 in a couple of days. Happy early birthday. Yeah. And how was your early life with HCM, 8, 10, 12 years old? How did it impact you as a kid?
Wow. That's a tough question. I was really mad. I was really upset. Didn't know what was going on. Thought that my whole life I was going to be playing sports and I was going to get a big scholarship going to some big school, you know, playing baseball or basketball or just something along those lines. And I never thought that I would have some kind of heart disease that would not allow me to do that. It was tough.
It is tough. And I'm glad you said that you were angry, because nobody's really ever happy about this diagnosis. And sometimes I think we're afraid to admit that we're angry at the diagnosis, the life circumstance. It's normal. It's very normal. And whether you're diagnosed at 50 or at 5 or at 75, we all get a little angry. And I really appreciate bringing that emotion into the conversation.
Yes,
ma'am. You're 8, you're 10, you're 12. Baseball's not going to be your thing. Football's not going to be your thing. And I will say that for some people today, the diagnostic journey is going to look different than it did 15, 20 years ago. Yeah. There may be some more flexibility based on individual anatomy and physiology for some kids to still participate in some level of athletics, but not everybody. And given your clinical background, if you were diagnosed today, restrictions would definitely be in place based on the anatomy of your heart that I'm aware of. Very, very thick, high risk of arrhythmia, and you were obstructed as a child. So these things wouldn't have changed much today. So they did restrict you from sports. What did you do to fill that time?
My parents put me in guitar lessons at 8. I've been singing in my church my whole life. I've been singing my whole life. My parents, they sing a little bit, and my grandparents, they sing a little bit as well. So they were always in the church choir. So every church choir practice, I'd sit in their lap as a 3-year-old boy, just up there singing my heart out. So my parents put me in guitar lessons when I was 8, and I took up to about 15. I just continued on and taught myself and continued singing. And
how's that working out for you so far?
It's going pretty good. I was on season 21 of The Voice. I was on Team Blake, and it was a fantastic experience. I made a lot of friends. I met a lot of cool people. I met Ed Sheeran and Dierks Bentley and Ariana Grande, John Legend and Kelly Clarkson. So that was really cool. And of course, all the people that you get to meet along the way is even better as well. I made a lot of friends.
That's fantastic. The switch from sports to guitar worked out here. Got you some really cool life experiences. Let's pivot back a little bit. What went on with your HCM after diagnosis? What has been your treatment pathway?
At the age of 14, I had an ICD, an internal defibrillator placed. So that was rough. You know, that as a 14-year-old, I didn't really understand, you know, a whole lot about it. Didn't really know what they were putting in my body. I mean, although they explained to me 100 times what it was, you know, still didn't really understand. I had that done. All this whole time I've been on Atenolol, which is just a beta blocker. Most people probably know that have HCM. So I've been on that for a while. And then a couple years go by, I go to high school and I want to go to prom. I was 17, so junior prom. I had to have open heart surgery at the age of 17. That was...
Wait, did you get to the prom?
I did, yes. Okay. So I got to go to prom. And I've left that part out. I got to go to prom.
More in detail, especially to the girls. We always want to know that they're at the prom date.
Yeah, so I got to go to prom, and then a couple of days after that, May 16th. It's hard to remember dates, but
that's okay.
I had open heart surgery then. I guess the biggest problem through that, the biggest struggle through that is my grandfather was going through stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And he passed 4 days before my open heart surgery. And I sang at his funeral 2 days before my open heart surgery. So that was the hardest part. And that is probably the most, that's probably the saddest part of my story. Cause he was my best friend. We did everything together, and he was like, man, when you turn 16, when you get, or when you get out of high school, I'm going to we're going to get you this nice truck. We're going to build, you know, we like to work on vehicles. So, me and my dad, we do a lot of stuff. So
you were going through the grief of the loss of a very important person, your grandfather, and you have to go for open heart surgery while thinking of getting, you know, going to prom. That's a lot for a teenage mind to process. I'm going to guess that you found some escape and some solace in your music.
Yes, of course. So every time I pick up a guitar, it's one of those things. It's really soothing to me. It's one of those things where I can just block out the world and block out my whole, you know, my whole story, my whole, all the grief that I've gone through, all the hurt. And that is, that's how I do it. I'm not a very big writer. I have friends that are pretty big writers, and then I kind of just let them do what they do best, and then I'll just kind of give it my own little twist. But I have tried writing, and I have a couple songs that are my own that I've written. So it's just a matter of time before I can make those better or write one that's just awesome. That's telling a lot about my story, a lot about myself, and kind of what I've gone through, and that's what I'd like to write next.
I'd like to see in that next song is also how you found a community of other people like yourself, where you can gain some inspiration from others who've been down a similar road, and also give inspiration to kids and young people who, I thought I was going this way and my life won't let me because my body has given me some signals that this isn't a safe route for me.
Of course.
So how do you communicate that to the community? So like stick us in there. We want to be around you. I love this story.
Yeah.
I love how you have, you took the pivot from sports to music. You took the music from your home and your local community to try to take it on a national stage. That takes some guts, kid.
Yeah. So it's the biggest thing right now is trying to get my story out and trying to get people to realize that that having hypertrophic cardiomyopathy is not the end of the world. It's really not. There's some things and some trials that you'll go through with it that you may struggle with, but it's really not the end of the world. When people say it's often called a sudden death disease, it really scares a lot of people, a lot of parents, you know. And I think that's what scared my mom the most was
those words are very frightening to any mother.
Of course.
And when it has there been anybody else in your family diagnosed with HCM before you were diagnosed?
No, ma'am. No, me. It was me first.
So you were first. It came out of the blue. Have we found other people in the family who have HCM at this time?
Yes, ma'am. My mom does.
Okay. Oh, there's a whole kind of extra stress on moms who have HCM and give it to their kids.
Yes.
Says the mom with HCM who gave it to her kid.
Yes.
We got a whole other level of mind games going on, and guilt and frustration and anger. And we wish we could have not given it to you.
Yeah.
Really do.
And as a young kid, kind of backtracking just a little bit, my mom, you know, when she told me that I had gotten it from her, and she told me that when I was, 8 years old, I got really mad. I would say kind of hurtful things because it was just one of those things. It's like, I didn't realize, you know, what I was talking about really, and then it's just kind of all that anger and fear and hurt from not being able to do what I wanted to do was kind of all coming out at once. And it was directed towards my mom because I didn't have anybody else to direct it to.
That's honest.
Yeah.
That is palpable and honest. And I would also say, so in my case, it was my dad. And I was 12 and I realized it was his side of the family, but my dad wasn't diagnosed until much later. And yeah, I had that kid anger that I better be mad at them because they're the ones who started this. And then you realize they didn't have anything to do with it. And I often try to tell parents of young kids who are in this situation, we grow up and we understand. We may say some really nasty things in the moment when we're adolescents and when we're frustrated, but we grow and we understand. And I believe that fear comes from a lack of understanding. And if we could elevate everybody a little faster to understanding, that maybe there wouldn't be some of those words that we wish we didn't say.
Yeah. And something I try to do as well, I teach guitar lessons at a local music store during the week. So I have a bunch of young kids who play sports and play, they want to learn guitar and they play sports. And I often ask the parents about their physicals. And I often make them aware of HCM because a lot of them are the same age I was when I was diagnosed. You know, I make them aware of what it is and how it works. And I'm like, look, you can go look it all up. I'm not lying to you. You know, this is all a real thing. It's just not really here in Alabama. It's just not really pushed.
We're hoping to, with our Healthy Cardiac Monitoring Act, bringing it around the country. And hopefully every well-child examination will eventually include cardiac components. So all physicians and all family members can have a conversation about their family heart health history, so that we can get to kids earlier, get them onboarded with therapies and treatment and protect them, and also make sure we're taking care of the whole being. We can't just take care of the heart.
We've
got to take care of the whole person. And sometimes that comes in lots of different flavors. We all pick the passions that we have in the world. Y'all know my passions. I'm a little addicted to solving the problem of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. This is my world. Yeah. Welcome to it.
I hear you.
But we all do it through our own skills, experience, and knowledge. And you're using music, and it's a career path for you. You're teaching, you're performing, and we're going to be dropping a new, I don't know, is it one song? Is it an album? Tell us about this upcoming project.
So it's a single that a friend of mine wrote. It's called Rosalia. I've been singing the song for, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 years now. I hadn't really had that push to release it, although I've had a bunch of people pushing me to release it. I hadn't had the push myself. I went and did a video here locally. It's actually on my Facebook page. So if you want to check out Barrett Haynes Music, that'd be great.
We will link it.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, thank you. So there's a video on there. And if you'd leave a comment and say what you think about it, I've gotten altogether probably around 7,000 views on it right now. Just trying to get some feedback, you know, trying to figure out if it'd be a good song to release, if it'd be something that people would listen to. And
what is your genre of music? Is it country? Is it rock? Is it pop? Where are you at?
I've sang a lot of Christian music, Christian worship music my entire life. My genre is more of like alternative. Okay. I don't necessarily sound. The only reason I sound country is because I'm from Alabama.
You got that little bit of an accent going on there.
A little bit. Yes. A little bit of twang. There. And when I sing, I can definitely bring that out if I need to sing with a country song. But yeah, for the most part, I sing country music. I sing a lot of Christian music, and I sing some alternative, like some John Mayer, some Ed Sheeran, some stuff like that, you know, just kind of like that sob rock, you know, kind of style. Okay. That's what they put John Mayer in. They put him in sob rock. So,
all right. That I can relate to.
Yeah. And yeah.
You came last year in October to our annual meeting and performed at our Unmask the Great Masquerader Ball. So I'm thinking this year we might do something similar in October, but at the International Summit on Saturday night with the summit. So we got to talk about dates for that and see if we can get you out there.
Of course.
I have a couple of other people who have really interesting skills and talent in the music genre. And I'm like, hey, maybe we can get you all to come together to Boston and perform. Yeah. And show people that HCM is more than a heart disease. We're more than people out there in the world. We're musicians. We're entertainers. We're in media. We're lawyers, doctors, nurses. We're everywhere.
Right.
We're in state houses. We're in elected positions. We're on TV. We're everywhere. So we got to show the talent of our community. So the song is on your Facebook page now, and hopefully we'll get some viewership of that. Yeah. Where do you see your life heading with your music and your HCM, and how do you balance the two?
So all I've ever wanted to do is play music and sing. The biggest thing I'm running into right now with music is figuring out what genre I want to sing, figuring out where I want to go, how I want to do it. And that, I think that will come. I think that will kind of present itself eventually. But managing both, you know, day to day, it's pretty good. I have my good days and bad days, you know, so just like most people do, really. My bad days are really tired, really weak, not really want to do anything, you know, kind of just want to stay in the bed all day, top days. And then my good days are, I'll wake up at 7:30 and ready to go. I think a lot of the problem with HCM too is if you get out of a habit, say, for instance, if you don't wake up at 8 o'clock every day and you sleep in till 10:30, 11, and then the next day you get up at 6:30, you feel awful. And that's a lot of my problem. And that can happen for a lot of people, but I think with HCM, it kind of increases that, kind of takes it to a maximum level.
So we call it the good day, bad day syndrome. We don't always understand the why. Sometimes it's something we did 2 or 3 days ago that's catching up with us. And we're like, well, I didn't do it yesterday, so why am I tired today? Our bodies just have sometimes a delayed reaction to physical stress. The mechanisms, I wish that I could understand better, but I don't. It's a common thing. And I was just having a conversation yesterday with a pharmaceutical company that's looking to do a clinical trial in HCM on a new concept of drug. So I get to have these fun probing conversations on why do you think it'll work and what can you offer us? And I've asked them to try to measure the good days and the bad days, not just what somebody says at that appointment. To get all techie, that's called the New York Heart Association class. How much can you do? How symptomatic are you? And there's only a 4-step scale. Most of the time, most people with HCM are 1s or 2s. There's mild limitations or they're perfectly fine. But on bad days, they could be 2s or 3s or 3s or 4s. They can't get off the couch. They can't walk. Going out of the house is just not happening. And that can be really, really stressful and kind of add to that anger thing. Like, I was fine yesterday. I wanted to go to this thing tonight. There's no way I'm getting out of the house today. I've dealt with that my whole life since I was 12 years old when I was diagnosed. You're a young man in 2024. You're still probably living the same experience. Like, you want to go out with your friends, but yeah, I'm tired.
So, and my biggest problem is that I've become a night owl over the past couple of years. A lot of the times I won't go to bed till nearly midnight because I don't know. It's just, and it may just be the musician in me just kind of want to stay up and play and, you know, do that kind of stuff. But because most musicians are night owls, they're not really early birds. Most songwriters are early birds. Tom.
So adjusting your life and your musical life and your cardiac life and your life, the HCM is a factor. Yeah. As you have to plan your rest. You have to plan your activity. Okay, you're a 21-year-old musician living in the South, dating. How is that with HCM? We don't get to talk to many early 20 people here on HCM's Tales from the Heart. Tell me what it's like being a young person today with HCM. Is it something that comes up?
Yes. I mean, it's nothing like too crazy, really. I kind of just do my thing. I go and teach guitar lessons, and most of those are in the afternoons, but I'll cut grass. You know, I weed eat. I do a lot. I exercise. I go to the gym with some buddies. Yeah, I know my limitations. You know, I've known my limitations since I was probably 12. I know when my heart is not doing, when I'm having a good day and when I'm having a bad day, pretty much. Some days I can go in the gym and I feel like $100. Get in there and just do it. You know, I'm good. And then some days I go in there and I'm like, why am I even here? So, but yeah, we live on a kind of a small farm. We have 16 acres surrounding, my parents have 16 acres surrounding our house. I'm currently in the process of trying to get me a house built. I'm going to build me a little tiny house.
And, nice.
So it's going to be down at the, I'm thinking it's going to be down at the bottom. My parents are on a hill. It's going to be like on the bottom down there. So, but that's the plan. For that. And so I'm hoping next week we kind of get the ball rolling on that.
Awesome. Your own place, but close to home.
Right. That's right.
Best of both worlds, right?
It is. And all my family lives here in Pell City. And people have asked me, they're like, why do you want to live in Pell City? Well, because Pell City's not a bad town. Pell City's a great town, really.
It's home.
And and it's home. And all my family's here. And so I just want to be here, be able to be here with them. And so that's kind of.
So you mentioned going out with your friends.
Yeah.
What do your friends know about your heart? And how do you guys communicate about that?
It's kind of a ongoing joke, because it's just, because with my defibrillator, we'll be going out doing something or just hanging out. And me and my buddies getting rowdy or wrestling or something. They're like, Barry, you got to stop. Your defibrillator's going to go off. You got to quit it. You know, just certain things like that. They've done that to me before.
You talk about it just like it's a regular thing. It's not some taboo topic that they're afraid to talk about. They can bust you on it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. My best friend, that's all he's like, he knows everything there is to know about it. He's a type 1 diabetic. I have hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. So, you know, where he has to take insulin, you know, and I'm like, dude, you got to stop taking that. You're going to die. Like, you got to stop eating that. You're going to die. You know, we'll just talk about, you know, just it'll be like that. He'll get on to me for something, and then I'll get right back on to him for something because he drank 2 energy drinks in one day, being a diabetic. I'm like, dude, come on, man. This is not how this works. The insulin pump be working overtime there.
I like how you just said that. That's not how this works. We think about our HCM sometimes as, you know, it's this thing that's attacking us or bothering us or impacting us. But it's us. It is our body. This is the vessel that we got to go through this life with. This is all we get. Your buddy's got diabetes. You've got a heart problem. We've all got something going on. And to be able to connect with somebody else who has a chronic illness, and there are 75 million people in the United States with chronic illness of some form, 75 million of us. And we're out there trying to live our lives and navigate under the same rule book as people who don't have to carry this extra burden. So it's a little extra hard on us. And it's nice to have a buddy to be able to bust with. A girlfriend of mine has MS, and we may have some, you know, little dark jokes between us that if anybody else said to us, it would be offensive. But if we say to each other, it's okay. It's important to have those people in our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then that's the thing. They'll joke with me about my open heart surgery sometime. You know, it's just, they had you, busted open like a can of biscuits, you know, just
how Southern of them.
Oh, I know, you know, it's funny. So we just laugh, you know. It's that's all you can do, really. You know, it's HCM is not, it's not like a cancer unless you let it be like a cancer.
Many people with HCM live to or surpass the average age of mortality in the United States. We're going to live long lives. We might as well get accustomed to the wonky heart that's there.
That's right.
Or what we must do to treat it. But that's just part of the journey. It doesn't have to be the obsession of the journey. All right. I'm the girl who's obsessed with it. I get that. But I'm obsessed with it so that nobody else has to be. We make it easier for you to navigate. The next thing we have to do with you is we have to get you aligned with our ambassador program, because they're great at amplifying these great HCM stories. And we really need to get your voice out there as an ambassador too. Thank you, Barrett, for joining us on Tales from the Heart. We look forward to following your career and having you join us as an HCMA ambassador. Thanks for joining us again on Tales from the Heart.